right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. Our guest tonight is Sadhu Da. I did some research on you. I spent an hour looking at your website, and it was literally, I might as well have been reading Greek. It was like a whole lot of stuff that I got the generalized concept, but it was pulling from things that I have very little connection to. So, you know, our topic tonight is the subject of wraiths, really, but I can't help but to
start. And hags.
What?
And hags.
And hags.
Very important.
And I can't help but to start with, what exactly are you?
It's a really good question. The simplest answer is I am a spiritual teacher and a spiritual counselor in situations of crisis. And to lightly elaborate on that, I had masters from various different traditions that I studied under, and I learned the principles and foundations of what makes them good at what they do, and then found a way to integrate all those teachings together to make more suitable for my personality and approach.
Now, is this like you distilled them down to the good teachings and removed the spirituality, or that you turned them into sort of a collective spirituality?
I'd say a collective spirituality because I don't belong to any specific religion, though some people would say that I trained under and followed and was ordained in specific religions, but I consider it all to be an exploration in spiritual science.
So when, for lack of a better term, I don't mean any insult by this, but when one religion hops, so basically you're hopping from religion to study them, you know, are these people apprehensive? Are they saying like, okay, well, this guy's not coming in for the right reasons?
Not at all. For example, when I studied under Master Thanaful Pakti and Master Pongsak, who were Theravada bhikkhus, Thai Buddhist monks, for those unfamiliar with those terms, it was an understanding that I wanted to learn the concepts of Buddhist magic and ritual work, and I wanted to be able to apply that to help people. They understood that I had other backgrounds and a foundation I was building on, and they were giving me tools to add to my tool belt.
I see.
Yeah,
so
that's good. So they weren't like trying to convert you, or because I
never
feel like a lot of times with our, you know, just for Western like understanding of religion, we're like, if you have contact with a religious person, they're going to want to convert you. But it sounds like that's not, you know, necessarily the case wherever you went.
No, Buddhism typically is more aligned as a spiritual science. If you talk to any truly devout, or I should better say educated Buddhist or practitioner, they will not refer to Buddhism as a religion. That's more of a Western boxed in term to understand Buddhism.
Yeah. So from my limited knowledge, I consider a lot of Eastern religions to, because I've tried to understand this. So for one, here in the West, I'm constantly hearing people who are very Christian specifically say to me, oh yeah, I'm Christian, but I don't believe in religion. And I have a hard time like separating those two. I'm just, okay, so this is your belief system and the religion is the organized aspect. And then when I think of what I would call religions from the East, they seem to define them more as, with the loose term, a path.
Right. So it's a practice. So for example, some people could consider some of the Vedic teachings behind yoga to be a religious path working. However, it's more of a path working and understanding that they're calling it a spiritual science. So if we are to do this and this with the body and the mind, we might be able to expect this and this as the result. Whereas in a traditional sense with Western appropriated religion like Christianity and its varying denominations, we would say if you read the Bible, everything you need to know is in the Bible. Don't question the Bible. Do this so that you can have this, which is promised by this. Whereas in yoga, you know, they may tell you if you were to do, you know, for example, Simha Kriya, which is a pranayama, a breath work technique. There are certain aspects that have been analyzed on a scientific level in medical studies that have shown it's going to oxygenate your liver. It's going to do this for your kidneys. It's going to help your body on a physical level in this way, which we can measure. And depending on your practice and depending on how often you apply it or how deeply you're involved with it, you may have greater or lesser results. Very distinct differences.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. You know, my friend Keith, who cares where I lived? My friend Keith at the time, he had told me, he's all, well, I'm thinking about becoming Jewish. And I'm all, Keith, you can't do that. And he's all, well, why not? Keith was black and he's just all, is it because I'm, and I'm all, no, that's not the problem. The problem is you don't believe in the Jewish God. You have to believe in order to be in these Western religions. And so it kind of sounds like what you're telling me, it's like, you don't have to believe, you just have to practice and try. And the aspiration is to get to the belief through the practice.
So exactly.
It's,
and
it's a little opposite of,
it's a little more of, by testing this and following this and practicing this, does this work for you? Do you get benefit from it? Mm-hmm. If not, then maybe try something different. Like Taoist philosophy and teachings of the importance in Qigong. And that's more of what I would consider a combination of martial arts meeting yoga. You're doing these slowed movements. You're exercising and energizing the body and the mind and the spirit. You're likely going to get a pretty good result from that. But maybe it's not the result you want. Maybe you get more out of doing yoga. It's just finding what's best for you, really.
I see. All right. So our topic tonight, thank you for the explanation.
No problem.
Sorry to my audience to not have a better background description of who you were, but I read the stuff and I'm just all, okay, this is a whole lot of belief systems that I am just not familiar with. Okay. So we're talking about wraiths, to start out here. You know, what is a wraith? Let's start with that.
So we understand that for the most part, if you are in this line of belief, that when a person dies, they become a ghost, right? And they might cross over shortly after. These are more basic understandings when we start to explore the metaphysical and the paranormal. However, there are different classifications of spirits. We understand in a Christian context, demonic entities. I defined a demon as a malicious entity of non-human origin that is quasi-physical in nature and not belonging to this physical plane. So if I ever use the term demon, that's what I'm saying. I'm not talking about a Christian context of the word demon. When we talk about a wraith is the corrupted essence of a human spirit. And what's really interesting is a wraith can kind of take shape in two different ways. And we won't get too complicated with this, but you have the ego shell. So when an entity becomes a ghost, so when a person becomes a ghost, they then become an entity. If they cross over, they have what's called a second death. So then they shed the ghost body, the ghost shell. Sometimes parasitic entities, which we'll get into later, like the hag, will commandeer that shell and will use that shell to operate within the astral plane. If that doesn't happen and it's a clean crossover and that shell disintegrates, what we're looking at is something else, which is a human wraith. The personality of the individual has been warped into a state of suffering and pain. If they were very angry and bitter in life, if they were suicidal and took their own life, murdered, or felt they were wronged greatly, those are likely, not guaranteed, but likely to be pretty quick transitions into what I call wraithhood.
It's a bright new day. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, and there's never been a better day to try Mount Shasta spring water. Hi, I'm Bob the Drop. I come from a protected spring at the base of Mount Shasta. I'm bottled at the source. It doesn't get more cool and refreshing than that, and it's delivered right to your door. Yep, pure and simple, naturally the best. Start your bright new day by calling 1-800-922-6227 to order some of the best tasting water on the planet, Mount Shasta spring water.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Salato, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE. Or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard, or visit us at estategranite.com.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell. Life can happen in an instant. Sometimes you plan for it, like retirement or taking care of your family. Sometimes it's a surprise, like a winter storm with home or property damage. Sometimes it may be an unexpected accident or illness or even a premature death. Whatever life throws at you, you'll wish you had gotten the right insurance when you had the chance. That's where Maxwell Insurance can help. For more than a quarter century, we've been serving the North State because it's our home too. Give us a call at 221-0441 to let us help you review your policies and prepare you for whatever your future holds. Maxwell Insurance, 1378 Hilltop Drive, 221-0441.
A building that's meant to last is not built overnight. And for centuries, the cornerstone has been crucial to guide each brick and wall that comes after. A strong community relies on many cornerstones. So at Cornerstone Community Bank, we've taken our name to heart. Whether it's your business or your family, we'll provide the financial cornerstone that you need to build on. We're local. We're community. We're your cornerstone. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland.
We have our bodies, we have our souls.
Mm-hmm.
So, when somebody dies, and we're going to use the term soul loosely, their body, the husk is gone, we now have the soul. Mm-hmm. The soul decides to stay on the earth or not, or for whatever reasons. At that point, they shed another husk and go on to heaven. That husk is then potentially used in the astral plane. Is that?
The husk only becomes the husk. Yeah, the second husk is only the second husk once the attached soul to that ghost body leaves it.
Right.
So to go on to the next level of its existence and development, it has to shed that ghost body. Just the same as the physical body. You can't take that into the spiritual realm.
So that ghost body, yes. Once the person leaves it, it would basically be cast aside like any other body.
It's just energy.
Right, but instead something latches onto it and uses it before that happens.
That is one application, yes. The other being they do not let go of that ghost body.
At which point they become a wraith.
They can. They certainly can. Not always.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
But they can.
You also mentioned parasitic entities, which reading it sounds like that's sort of separate from race, right?
Yes, they're more of
like a parasitic entity. It's not necessarily a wraith.
They're bottom feeders, the way I like to classify it, because they both inhabit the astral realm, so the lower levels of what we'll call the various spiritual realms. They are bottom feeders. They're parasitic entities. They're bottom feeders. Wraiths become more of predatory feeders. Mm. Opportunist.
Okay.
I see. So I'm a huge horror movie fan. Andrea referenced that maybe you are too.
Yes.
A lot of my exposure to this stuff. So horror movies in general here recently have started to go international, and I really like that, because here in the West, you know, most of our horror movies were based off of Christianity, or at least most of the widespread ones. Of course,
there's Rosemary's Baby, The Omen, etc.
And now we're starting to see sort of international or broader views of that. And my biggest first experience with any of this sort of wraithdom was Insidious. Did you feel that was well represented?
Yes, actually. I really loved the way that they approached the movies. Like, for example, Insidious, and I don't know if you're familiar with Hereditary.
I am.
Hereditary was beautifully put together. Whoever directed or actually did the writing of the script for that movie, they did their occult research, and they did a really good job. As far as Payman, you know, Lord Payman being this elaborate demon, no, Payman's actually more of a jinn or genie of Middle Eastern lore, and is one of the entities in the Ars Goetia, you know, Tale of King Solomon and et cetera. That's kind of where it just went straight Hollywood. But the actual process of training somebody within a magical cult to have a host personality taken over by a living entity inside of that body, it was genius, because that has been done in levels, and it's a very, very dark process. And I appreciated how they put that much detail into it. Now, with Insidious, they followed the three-step process of possession, which is infestation, going into manifestation, then overshadowing, transitioning into transpossession, moving into possession / perfect possession. Ed and Lorraine Warren talked about the three steps of how possession occurs. That is what Insidious follows, with the whole boy getting lost in the plains and, you know, those different aspects of how the body gets taken over. They did a really good job with that.
Yeah, so this prompts the question, you know, and I always think about this with people with mixed belief systems, you know. My new thing that I've come up with, like, when people ask me, like, oh, do you believe what I'm talking about, or do you believe the people that you interview on the show? My answer now is that I'm not even entirely sure that I believe that I exist. Mm-hmm. Therefore, you know, I mean, I can't really get behind anybody's belief system. But when you have a mixed belief system, like, do you believe Ed and Lorraine Warren were knowledgeable and doing the right thing, or do you view them as you know, Christian Catholics and totally mistaken on what they were doing?
That's a very good question. I believe they were good at research and documentation, and they did a lot that was huge for the paranormal community, especially in the Western regards in that sense. If you want to go Eastern, that's an entirely different story. So in that understanding, very good. Their actual approaches, I would have done way different, especially their little cabinet of curiosities, the basement that they had filled with all of these haunted items and various different objects that they gathered over the years. Very stupid. Very, very stupid. I would have at least had energetic locks and binds, would have stripped them of their charge, and would have made it actually safe. What they did was create a very interesting nightmare of sorts on the spiritual planes, and as far as a giant living totem of darkness. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool if you're into that. But for me, I see that more of a risk, especially with them not having a serious amount of training and skill. Now, Lorraine was a very gifted psychic, and I believe that it was her approach with the energy working that led to more of an effect with their resolution of cases than the actual religious provocation and following of that channel.
Yeah, I was thinking when I saw the room with all the stuff in it, I'm just all, you know, this has got some major end of Ghostbusters 2 vibes. Maybe we shouldn't mm-hmm. have all these baddie things in the same place, you know? Go ahead, Kara.
Well, we were talking about wraiths. You said they were more predatory. So just like for our audience, what are wraiths like? Like, what do wraiths do in the world? What's the distinction between them and a regular ghost, sort of?
A ghost is going to seek out communication. They're going to want to try to understand what is happening to them. They're going to want to settle back into the physical world in some way. And in some instances, they may intentionally or unintentionally create attachments and feed upon the environment or people in particular ways. But that does not make them predatory. And there are ghosts who might behave in the way that a wraith does. But the key distinction here is that a wraith no longer has any concept of the former personality of that living person. They literally become the suffering, and they almost in a reproductive way of how cells will split and make a new one. They're constantly playing out that death loop or those sufferings that they endured back on to the collective consciousness of humanity. And that is how they are feeding, by reproducing that feeling and growing. And they actually start to evolve in a downward spiral, because evolution is not just in the sense of going up. It's also going down. So things can devolve, but it's still an evolution. A really good example would be different classifications of wraiths. So we have a draugr, which would be a almost zombie-like. So it's a spirit that has held on to the chi in the physical body and has been able to pull energy into that physical body and then work that physical body. It's not a zombie in the classic sense, and these are quite rare. In ancient Celtic mythology, they would talk about these, and I believe the term actually originated from the Celts, which was draugr, which is draugr. Jason Voorhees would be a very good example of a draugr if we're going to take this to Hollywood. And Jason Voorhees would also be a very good example of a water wraith. So we would take this in combination as he is a revenant draugr. So revenant being a very particular class as well. But there's hybrids of classes. So Jason Voorhees would be a revenant draugr, essentially like a wraith to zombie combination. He's retained the bodily chi, and he sustains it through energy gathered from taking lives, with heightened power tied to specific solstice and lunar cycles of planetary alignment, which were tied to his death state. That's how he's gaining that power. His energies are peaking within a certain aspect of planetary alignment.
over for savings at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading. Buy 5 car wash coupons and get one free. Or buy 10 and get 3 free. Quick and Clean is a family-owned business. They offer only the highest quality service. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
Years ago, Simpson University began with the promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with the promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Building on our foundational promise to educate ministers and missionaries, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
And that's the thing that a lot of people get tripped out on. Is, okay, there's a ghost here. Well, what kind of ghost? Is this a traditional ghost? Is it an echo-imprinted residual energy that is mimicking a ghost? Is this a wraith? Is this a demonic entity? Is this a parasitic entity? That's where you get specialists like me who have put in the time and diligence and research and understanding and learning to be able to differentiate. Otherwise, you're going to just go off the concept of, is it good or bad? Which, I mean, come on, those are convoluted terms on their own.
Right.
So when you're trying to figure this stuff out, a lot of it has to do with logistics and motive. So the motive of basically the equivalent of a human or a soul would be to get somewhere. So a lot of the time the ghost wants to either be back to being human or move on, or it's confused somewhere in there. And the motive is not necessarily evil, although it might come across as dangerous and it might come across as scary. The motive is not evil.
Yes. Perfect example, actually. I had a client a couple years ago who started to get really sick after her grandmother had passed. She loved her grandmother very dearly. Her grandmother was a wonderful human when she was alive. Her grandmother did not become a wraith. Her grandmother was still a ghost. Her grandmother had no comprehension or understanding of how to retain her energies. The only thing that was natural was to connect to the love for the granddaughter. That made her sick. She was feeding off of her life force. She wanted to communicate with her granddaughter, and every time her granddaughter would get upset, she would draw more energy, not intentionally, but so that she could cause phenomena to happen. One of the things that happened was she had a quilt that her grandmother had made her that was in a chest of drawers underneath her bed, and she would come home after a hard work day, and sometimes she had a habit of just taking a moment to cry, which is totally fine. However, Grandma wanted to comfort her, so Grandma, on those days, would have the blanket appear from the chest of drawers and be on the bed when she got home. Grandma's attached. Grandma knows when they get back to the house, this is going to be a routine that she's going to. She's probably going to cry today. I'm going to try to comfort her. I'm going to send her the sign of I'm with you, not realizing that she's actually harming her granddaughter. I separated the attachment. I gave them closure both on each other's end, and I crossed grandmother over. She's been fine ever since, but yet she did experience what we'd call ghost sickness, even though the grandmother was not intentionally preying on her.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, as far as getting rid of them, this prompts my question. Again, this has to do with like mixed belief systems. Mixed has an implication of lost, but collective belief systems. And I love the fact that you're a movie fan, because I can use these things that have made me think. A lot of my thoughts come from watching a movie and I go, you know, is this? So in Constantine, he's like fighting demons, and there's one scene where he's like fighting a demon or something, and he has to go through his keychain and find the right, icon, the right symbol. Like he has a cross on it, and he has a pentagram on it, and he has some Jewish symbol on it, and so on and so forth. And he has to find the right one, you know. And when we're dealing with these things, you know, how do you view it? Because each religion looks at it like a pantheon. They have their pantheon. In Catholicism, it's God and Satan. I mean, God and saints. In Christianity, it's just God or the Trinity. Do you view all these pantheons as being things, or is this just sort of a, like a collective of space aliens to you, like different races? Or, I'm not asking this well, maybe you have.
It's okay. I have an understanding of what you are kind of driving at.
Yeah.
For me, I look at it as vibrations and client relations. With clients, I'm going to focus on what is most comfortable for them. That's why I got good in varying different practices. If somebody is Christian and they don't want me to go Theravada Buddhist on the situation, they don't want me to use Wiccan practices, they don't want me to be Taoist or, you know, whatever term you want to relate there. They don't want me to do these because these practices are not comfortable or familiar to them. I will dance in the box of Christianity all day long if it resolves their situation. And at the same time, it doesn't really matter what I'm playing to with the client to appease them, because I'm still doing what I want to do anyway. They're just seeing the front page. I'm telling them it's this book, but they don't know what's underneath the cover. They don't need to, because they think it's this book. What I will actually do is I'll be using my energy, which I have cultivated and strengthened through practices of Qigong and Gong Fu, yoga, various different pranayams, bridging from meditation practices, chanting mantra, etc. This collective energy that I've built up across different traditions, which has strengthened my energetic body, I will simply use my energy and funnel it through, even if it is a Christian prayer, I can still strengthen it with my own energy and put the vibration that I want to it. Doesn't matter what the words I'm saying are. Now, in some instances, there might be an entity that is more affected by certain vibrations. For example, I suppose with enough air, you could put out a big fire. Wouldn't it be a little bit easier if you dumped a bunch of water on it? And that's kind of how I approach it. What's going to be the simplest approach here? If I know that I could just use a specific set of mantras which have an encoded resonance of vibration in them, which are going to affect this particular entity in a certain way, I want to do that. However, if this person is very adamant about using Catholic prayers, we're going to do those Catholic prayers, but I'm going to use the bij or the seed syllables and enunciate them a little bit more in that Catholic prayer, which are going to align with some of these Buddhist mantras that I've learned. They don't know that I'm deceiving them, but it's for their own benefit. And ultimately, I'm not harming them. I'm helping them. So it doesn't matter if they understand or know what I'm doing or not. I know what I'm doing.
Well, then let me ask you this, and I know it's getting off topic, but, you know, I follow the interesting stuff. Is there a singular? Is there a devil?
That's a funny question. I, for the longest time, thought there must have been some sort of collective evil, if you will. I've come to find out over the years that there are what we would call devils, which would be more akin, depending on how weird you want to get, with a very specific set of different races of what we would call extraterrestrial beings that are of an incredible malevolent order. And there are variations of this on the spiritual planes and the physical as well. It is all relative in term, because to them, you really think they see themselves as eagle, or do you think they just see themselves as gathering resource?
Yeah, I guess what I'm trying to get at is we'll take an all-powerful God off the table.
Okay.
Because that's, by definition, beyond our comprehension, I would assume. But is there a pantheon and an order to these things? Like, I'm always curious when we talk about other worlds and stuff like that. I'm always curious as to a culture, you know, if a culture actually exists there, you know. So, like, is there an order? Is there leadership? Or is it solely just based on power and energy?
I would say that honestly depends on who you're asking. In my understanding, which I've learned from so many different sources, and the best that I could make of it was that there is the collective conscious, the collective unconscious, the conscious and the unconscious. And taking those into formation of circles and linking them together, you have different points of existence. I don't know if that helps to elaborate or not.
Yeah, no, but I mean, but not knowing is also an acceptable answer. So, I mean, you know.
I don't know.
There are a lot of things that we just don't know and won't know.
I think just what he's asking is, like, when you're talking about planes that are not, you know, the physical plane, do, you know, entities that live there have their own hierarchies? Do they have their
own
civilizations?
Oh, most definitely. Okay. Yes.
Yeah. Like,
that is a thing.
Yeah. And so, yeah. Like, I'm always curious, especially when there's mixed belief systems, you know, we have angels. It's like you were saying, there are demons, and what demons are, the way you define them, was not necessarily good or evil.
Now, it's funny that you mentioned angels. So I would say, yes, I believe in angels, not in the sense of how we religiously talk about them, but in the understanding and discussion that people in a Christian faith would have for an angel would be one type of celestial being of a higher vibration. That doesn't mean they are the only type of celestial being that is in a higher vibration, whose sole focus is the greater good, helping, trying to evolve other societies and classifications of entities.
Join us for Turtle Bay's Walk on the Wild Side Animal Show, running Tuesday to Sunday at 11 a.m. and noon. This fun-filled educational wildlife show gives you a special look at Turtle Bay's most beloved animals. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. In response to COVID-19, NFI has scheduled online Zoom classroom sessions for CCW and CCW renewal. These online courses will be followed up with live fire range training, which will complete your certification. Follow-on range training is done with the same great instructors you've come to know and love. Give us a call today at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Where do you go in Shasta County to get advice on the best type of firearm to meet your needs and how to safely carry and use it? The answer is to join the revolution at locally owned Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms believes in a better way to serve their customers and providing them with all the information needed to make the right decisions before and after the sale. They have a large selection of guns and ammunition and always special discounts for veterans. Self-protection is your right. Join the revolution at Bastiani Arms, 2539 Larkspur Lane in Reading, 222-8222.
These are unprecedented times. Challenging how the YMCA works to strengthen community as we have for nearly 170 years. But we've always found ways to help people and communities in times of crisis. Right now, Ys across the country are providing emergency child care, shelter, food programs, and outreach to seniors. But we can't do it alone. Whether you're connected to the Y or have a fond Y memory, we need you to stay with us. Reach out to your local Y today and stay with us for a better us.
Summer takes flight at Turtle Bay's Wings of Summer Butterfly Exhibit, open June 19th through August 15th. Experience hundreds of butterflies in a tranquil and enclosed garden. Access is free for Turtle Bay members and included with park admission. Learn more at turtlebay.org.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
You should have some sort of practice that helps cleanse you, because it's not just entity attachments and things that you need to worry about that can kind of cloud you up and create a toxic environment there. It's also the projections and emotions that other people put onto you can have the same effect. And I use a technique that I put on my blog on my website called the Sideball Salt Bath Cleanse, which is a really simple one that many people can read, check out, and do, and could be very helpful for them. But you did mention something very interesting in talking about the attachment and is there anything we need to worry about and all that. Perfect explanation. The hag. Sleep paralysis can often be two different things. It can be a waking state occurring when your body is still asleep and you consciously come to awareness and there's that lag of sinking up.
I think that's happened to me, and it was terrifying.
Yeah, I've definitely experienced that, you know.
A different way that happens, where it's not just sleep paralysis and where it's actually an entity-driven response, is when a parasitic entity known as a hag will present itself. It'll find your little energy marker, which is floating around in the astral, connect to it, come to you, start feeding, like a crouching on the chest or a holding and pinning down. And when you wake up, it's similar to when a person is bitten by a mosquito. You might not notice that you got bit by a mosquito, but when it pulls away, you sure do start to get itchy and you notice that you got bit by a mosquito. There is a paralytic venom. We talked about the, you know, venoms being able to go to take and to inject, right? So the same venom concept is used by a hag, where they inject this paralytic venom into your astral body, which will then kind of override your physical, keep your vibrations in that lower alignment so they can feed off of your life force. And then when they pull away, it's the snapping of that little tendril is the recognition of the body, something's not right, and you'll wake up. And a lot of people will describe seeing an old woman sitting on their chest or feeling a dark presence in the room, things of that nature. If you have a feeling of terror and fear, feel a presence or have this constricting motion on top of your body, and it's not just, I'm having a hard time breathing, I'm scared, I'm trying to get my body to wake up. If it's the latter of that, that is sleep paralysis induced by an astral parasite. And they will often come back to feed again, because once they've fed, they've got your marker, your energy marker, your unique little vibration. They know it. The best course of action to eliminate this from happening to you again and from other astral parasites finding your little marker, because they tell their friends, hey, this is a good meal, you know, come check it out next time, all you can eat buffet.
I assume the answer is to never sleep again.
I mean, I don't know if that would work well for you.
Right.
But raising your vibration out of alignment with those lower vibrations, having spiritual practices, if you will, and whether that just be doing yoga or having more of a conscious interaction with people every day, doing inventory, lifting your mental well-being, lifting your physical energy levels, strengthening the emotional body, anything that is necessarily going to be a benefit to your overall health, these are going to kind of affect your energetic vibration. These are going to raise your vibrations. And if our vibrations are raised to a certain threshold, certain things can't come up and meet that. We have to be in alignment with their vibrations. Otherwise, they have no effect on us. This is why you'll have some people that will say, oh, you know, I don't believe in ghosts or demons or anything like that. And they'll go into a situation where many people are being affected quite a bit. And they're like, okay, well, this person doesn't really have any practices. They're not a guru. They just don't believe in this stuff. And yeah, there is an element of, even if you don't believe in something, it can definitely happen to you. Had that with clients before, but there is a certain amount of having to have that rapport or alignment with that entity, and, you know, and then there's always like a dual manifold for, you know, certain rules, but.
Yeah, in the Screwtape letters, Screwtape and Wormwood were talking about how it's easier to corrupt a Christian than a non-believer because they're already halfway there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you use the term vibration a lot, lower vibration, higher vibration, and in DC Comics, The Flash, that's how he moves from universe to universe, is by vibrating at the different frequencies. But I see that you're a musician there. And is this like a metaphor to better understand it, or is it literally like an A440 as opposed to an octave up of an A880?
It is literally like that.
Okay.
For example, the reason why mantras have so much power in Theravada Buddhism and other practices of Buddhism like Bonpo and et cetera. There's a fundamental science that was understood about the power of vibration. I could make a noise, and if I have a glass of water in front of me, I'm not touching it physically, but that sound can cause a reverberation and make the water move. This concept of not having a physical body and being an entity that is only affected on a vibrational level means that there are certain approaches we can take and certain ones that won't work. If you had a cross and you threw a cross in a spot, let's say there's a spot in the room where there is any kind of entity, doesn't really matter. But let's say it's harboring space right there. It's not actually physically here in this dimension. This is a quasi-physical being. Partially here, partially not. Throw that cross over there. The cross is just going to go right through it. I mean, nothing's going to happen. Now, if that charge of energy and consecration of vibration, specifically higher vibrations, were instilled into that organic material, it gives it a weight we maybe can't see, but we can feel and experience. That feeling and experience of that vibration crossing through that space where that entity may be will disrupt its alignment in that space.
Right.
And push it, dislodge it from.
Because obviously vibrations can be changed or trimmed. You know,
to
stick with the music reference, sorry to the audience, like a bandpass cabinet for a bass player. Basically, it's going to trim off the high end and fire the low end out of the tube. You know, that vibration has been changed, even though the note is staying the same. It's, yeah, okay. All right. Well, we've gone over time here. How does somebody who needs your help, how do they get in touch with you?
The best way would be to go to my website, which would be www.thesadhuda.com, and that's thesadhuda.com.
All right, and of course you welcome these things.
I do.
All right. Well, you've been listening to Sadhuda here on Radio Wasteland as we've been talking slightly about race, but definitely got off track, and I appreciate that. If you want to find out more about...
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.